Father, we come to your presence desiring to know you like you know us, asking you to open our hearts to you, choosing to humble ourselves before you and invite you to teach us what is true. Lead us after you. Transform us, Lord. We don't want to stay stuck where we are. We want to move into a greater depth of grace and love. And we thank you for this privilege. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So the next one will be after communion, at communion. During our time away, Susie and I have spent quite a bit of conversation about truth, almost half hour to an hour a day beside our normal quiet time, sometime in the evening, just talking through some truths of the principles of grace and truths of what, if you really get the story, if you really believe what it says, then these things are true of you. You just may not be experiencing them. And so as I talk about this morning, I kind of want to approach it with that, is the idea that God has done, if you're a believer in Christ, God has already completed the work of salvation. He has already changed you. God's not trying to change the Christian. He already has. What he's wanting you to believe is the life that he's given you is sufficient for all that you're encountering, all that you have encountered, and all that you will encounter. And so stepping into communion, where we acknowledge his work, you know, we know there on the cross he said, "It is finished." So in that place, we want to come and say, all right, will I embrace the finished work, or will I try to add to his, you know, help God out a little bit? I know you guys have never tried to do that before, but in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, we have these verses. And this is the message we have received from him and announce to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is a glorious thought, is it not? That he could cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What I frequently find as I share with believers, and even as I walk this out myself, I'm not past this. I'm in process just like you, is that we don't feel that cleansed. That most people are still wrestling with some closet material. Most people are still wrestling with some stains that they haven't been able to erase from their memory. People are still wrestling with something that's got them chained to something, and it's tearing them up inside. And yet he says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. when I choose to walk by faith into light, you know, God's revealed light. We don't make light. He is light. Amen? So he's the light. So when I choose to walk by faith into light, I am stepping into relationship with God. As I walk in relationship with God, it affects me. It affects me. You cannot be in God's presence and be the same. He will change you. All right? And so responding by faith to Christ means I follow after him. As I walk in the light. He's light. So I'm walking with him. If I'm fellowshipping with him, I'm following him. I'm joining into a fellowship relationship with God. And I get the privilege, and you get the privilege, to do that moment by moment, day by day, hour by hour, year by year. This is our honor, that I can walk with the light. I can walk with him who is the light. He said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So into this we are called to walk. All right? And so obeying that brings us the opportunity to express it through our gratitude, where he says, in everything, give thanks. Now that's a revelation of light, isn't it? Here's light, it shines down, it says, in every situation, there's a reason for you to give thanks. So I see that light, and I can make two choices, can't I? I can say, it's raining on my vacation. Yes, it was a rainforest. Okay? What a surprise, 15 feet a year. Okay. Hallelujah! Or, what? We can grumble. In every situation of life, you're experiencing a faith choice opportunity. And life situations come against each of us differently, but all of us are facing them. You faced some this morning when you chose to come, and you may have came out of fear, you may have come out of obligation, or I hope you came out of love and faith. It says, I know I want to be with God's people, and I want to hear from God. I want to draw near, even though I may be uncomfortable. So when we come to worship, and had over the last several days, numerous technical difficulties with our electronics. The computer, the monitor, the projector, all of them have been uncooperative. And so in that spot, you realize what? You're not in control, but I know who is. So am I going to rejoice into that? Am I going to trust him in that? Or am I going to fight him with that? See, so we're facing choices. We've spent 5 weeks here teaching how do we be open-handed livers in a tight-fisted world. So am I stepping into that? Am I becoming a person who practices generosity with my time, with my talent, with my treasure, that I just live in a way that says everything I have is from God, I'm greatly blessed? So that's a choice, to walk in light. Does that make sense? All right. So if I walk then into the light, we have fellowship with one another. We have fellowship with one another. We have fellowship with one another. See, oftentimes I think when we talk about passages like this, we think, okay, we have fellowship with one another in the blood of Jesus. We move right on past. You know what I mean? We want to get to the cleansing part, and that's great. We're going to get there. But this aspect of saying there is a relationship he wants. It's not just what he wants to do for you. It's what he wants to do with you. It's the relationship he wants to have with you. It's the relationship he wants you to have with those around you, even those you don't necessarily want to be around. He loves them too, right? So if I walk in the light as he is in the light, then I will, in that process, be fellowshipping with with him. But if you are walking in the same light as he is in the light, aren't we going the same direction? See, we begin sharing a fellowship relationship together. We're on the same path. So that was part of the sweet fellowship that Susie and I were able to enjoy up there at the Olympic Peninsula, was hiking the trails. And I tend to like hiking a little more than she does. Okay. Well, she got her type of camping, you know, with the queen-size bed and the shower and the stove. So I got my kind of trail. It was a trail. Okay. But one of the things that was special was the fellowship that we had, because as we walked down a trail together, we were experiencing the Creator and His creation together. And so whether it was the birds or the waterfalls or these different experiences, all of this was something that we were fellowshipping with. Now, oftentimes people think of fellowship in average church, it means coffee and sugar in a form of some type. That's not really the biblical definition. Fellowship is the idea of having in common. This is what I share. I share life in common. It's why we encourage everyone to be connected in a small group, in a life group, that you will share life with somebody else, that you don't live in isolation, because we're a family of God, that we live it together with other people. So he says, we fellowship with one another. So then when we both do it, it affects us. So the affecting of us is that we now have this in common. So as I follow Christ fully, my full following will align me with you. And if I don't align well with you, either you or me or us isn't really following. And in fact, this is one of the things that, you know, when you spend 24/7 with your wife on vacation, you discover, hey, how close are we? How fully aligned are we? And so whether it was caring for the grandkids or whatever, boy, you know, parents think differently and grandparents think differently, and everything you approach, you have that chance to align yourselves together. And so in relationship, how you're living in relationship with others is a reflection of how you're living in relationship with the Father. Because my fellowship with Him affects my fellowship with everybody else. It has to happen. I can't live in isolation. That's His intention. It's the mark of the believer, is that he lives in love. And so I walk out this fellowship relationship. Okay, so it always aligns me. So we share this commonness. All right? And then what happens? Now this is so special. The blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Friends, there is a certain point when this work on the cross is finished and done and complete. But I do know about you, because I do know about me, and the completeness of that work is not yet completed in me, in the sense that I still sin. Therefore, I'm still needing cleansing. Isn't that right? I'm still needing to be walking this out. I'm still needing to fellowship this out. And so in this process of cleansing, in this process of walking this out, I fellowship with Him. He washes me. And He washes me through the Word, but oftentimes He washes me through the Word through others around me. When you're in the small group, like I was yesterday on a Saturday morning with a group of guys and hanging out, and somebody else shares a verse, and it's like, oh, I didn't see it that way, and all of a sudden he speaks something to me that I might not speak to me. Am I right? Or my spouse, you know, that's the Holy Spirit's assistant. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And so she's right there. God gave her to me and me to her that I might be completed. Isn't that the truth? Therefore, she speaks as one indwelt by the Spirit that I might receive truth that cleanses me. And I got to decide if I'm going to walk into the light in that situation, in that relationship, or whether I'm going to walk away from that. And so in each of these situations, it's still, how am I responding to the Father? And how am I letting that be expressed out through me in the way I respond? And so I hit the blood of Jesus, his Son. Jesus Christ is God's Son. Jesus Christ is God's Son. And Jesus Christ's sacrifice on that cross is sufficient for all sin, for all time, for all sinners. Amen? Amen. Me, you, all of us, all of that, it's sufficient. So there is nothing that you can do. There is nothing that you have done. There is nothing that you will do that his blood will not wash. Nothing. It cleanses all sin. Now, to receive that, I have to receive him. It's not just, hey, the bill's paid. Somebody has to sign on and say that bill was my bill and I agree, I accept the fact that somebody else paid my bill. That's what faith is. For there's salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ alone. And so as I speak to you this morning about this issue, if you're here, if you're listening to my voice and you have not trusted Christ as Savior, the idea of washing up yesterday's sin is not the problem. It's the whole kit and caboodle. I have to come to Christ to be cleansed, to begin the relationship. And so I put my faith in Christ as Savior, and then I walk in fellowship with the Savior. This is not a thing where you work your way towards approving, getting God's approval. I think somebody talked about that last week. Is that right? That you can't earn God's approval by your own performance. I trust somebody else's performance. All right? So the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us if you trust his Son. Knowing there is a Son, knowing what the Son has done, is not the same as believing on the Son. Believing of the Son is not the same as depending on the Son. I mean, it's as simple as getting into your car and knowing that seatbelts save lives doesn't mean that seatbelt is going to save yours unless you depend upon it and trust in it by attaching it and believing that its capacity will protect you. So until you depend upon Christ, until you come to say, I need Christ alone as Savior, you won't experience the cleansing. So trust him. Trust him. That's my invitation to you. And then now trusting, it doesn't change, believer. You step into Christ by trusting and you walk with Christ by trusting. It doesn't change. But there is this fellowship relationship that we can have. So the Son of God was sacrificed for me. Does that astound you? I mean, you should be astounded that he did that for me, but I think you also ought to be astounded that he did that for you. I don't want to make this about you. I want to embrace this. I want to receive that it's not just that there's a God out there somewhere, but he revealed himself through his Son, Jesus Christ, who died in my place as my substitute. And he cleanses us from all sin. Now, let me give you some good news that may sound like bad news. You and I have zero capacity to resolve sin. There's nothing you can do about it. You were born into sin. You have embraced sin. You've walked into sin. You cannot save yourself. He sent a Savior to save you. And in that place, I have to trust to be cleansed. I have to come. I can't fix some of my sin. I can't straighten some of myself out. When I try to manage my sin, you guys know what I'm talking about? I don't sin less when I try to sin less. I just sin different. See? Because you hold on to this one, and then you're proud about yourself because you didn't do that, and now you're into what? Pride, which is sin. Yeah. So when you try to sin less by your flesh, you don't sin less. And so this whole concept is, I come to Christ who cleanses me from all sin in all situations. And my sinful habits, my sinful hang-ups, my sinful past, all has to be brought to him. I have to keep coming. That's called a relationship, isn't that right? This isn't you. I get so frustrated with the concept that, you know, people talk about, you know, well, I'm going to heaven. You're not telling me I'm not going to heaven if I don't do this, are you? Friends, this is not about punching a ticket. You know, so some people, I talk to them, and it's like, hey, they bought their ticket, and they're over here waiting for the rapture bus to come. I'm going up. No, you're walking with him daily now, letting him cleanse you. But I have to be willing to admit what? I need cleansing. You know, I watched it happen here yesterday. I watched it happen when we were overseeing the grandchildren. Hey, have you washed your hands for dinner? It's very interesting what the responses can be sometimes from children, isn't it? So I watched this yesterday. I saw this. A parent said, hey, did you wash your hands? And the child does this, right? But they hadn't washed them. They were just seeing whether or not mom thought they looked clean enough. Is that where you are? I think I'm clean enough. Or do you want to be cleansed from all sin? See, we can settle, folks. We can settle for being nicer people than we used to be. And that's nice. But that's not all he intends for you to be. Because he has made you righteous with the righteousness of Christ. He's given you that robe. Don't dip it in the mud. You are righteous. Don't go back to choosing unrighteousness. Walk this out because he will cleanse you from all sin. So, all sin. What's sin?
All.
And all means all. And that's all means. Just in case you needed help with the explanation of that word. Okay, a little exegesis work there. All right. So. Here's the deal. Some of you did some very rebellious, deliberate things that scarred you and your family. And you can never forget them. Does it cleanse those sins?
Yes,
it does. Some of you did some foolish things. You'd been given counsel. You knew better. You chose it anyway. Does it cover those sins? Some of you said, you know what, God, I know you'll forgive me if I do this, and so you went and did it. Does it cover those sins?
Yes.
The question is, have you received it? See, because you know it does. I mean, that's this thing up here, but do I assimilate that? And will I embrace that? You see, agreeing with God that we've done something wrong is not the same with trusting God for what we've done wrong. Does that make any sense? There is this spot, and I've seen it as a counselor. I've been there as a sinner, where we feel horrible about what we've done, because it makes us look horrible, and we got caught. True story? Yeah. But do we really have his view? No. No, we're just ashamed that we were caught where we are. So this idea of embracing cleansing is actually a change of perspective. All right? See, repentance really isn't just about not wanting to sin. It's not just about changing your attitude about sin. It's about embracing the truth about the Savior. See, I'm repenting from something to something. And a lot of you are looking back at your sins, I want to get out of this, and you're still just looking at your sin. You will never get out of your sin by looking at sin. The only way to get out of sin is by looking at the Savior. And as I focus upon him, as I look to him, he, what? Cleanses me from all sin. Is that making sense yet? And so this issue is trusting Christ, knowing that nothing I do will ever make me right with him except him. So it's not my performance, it's his performance. And so, what he did on the cross satisfied my Father completely. And so repentance is about who you're trusting. Because many of you, as a believer, will find yourself, if you're like me, trusting yourself to get yourself out of this rather than trusting him to cleanse you in it. Because until he cleanses you, you won't walk. He cleanses us from all sin. All sin. All sin. And as I was working on this, and as my wife and I were discussing this and reading a book that's been stirring our hearts and minds, something else came about. He cleanses us from all sin, and we're going to walk in fellowship, right? And so we can walk in fellowship with him. So if he cleanses me from all my sin, can it cleanse you from all your sin? Well, of course. But there's another corollary here that I think we miss, and this is where God's drawn me here this morning, and why I couldn't do short devotional here. It cleanses us from the sins done against us, if you'll trust it. You have had horrible things done to you. You have had someone steal something from you. You have had someone shame you in some horrible, disgusting, painful way. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, can cleanse you from the sins done against you, not just the sins that you've done. Isn't that an awesome thought? But admitting to God that somebody did something against me is not the same as trusting God with what they did against me. Do you see the parallel? What's true for us, you know, good for the goose, good for the gander. Isn't that the way that statement goes? Who came up with that? I receive his work as sufficient for all sin. His blood cleanses me from all of my sins and from all of the sins of others done to us. That's why you could see there in Egypt when believers were slaughtered, having their heads removed from their bodies, and mothers said, I just pray that they would meet the Savior that caused my son to confess him as they killed him. How can they do that? Because they believe there is a blood that cleanses us from the sins done against us, even the most horrific sins. That's why when you actually listen to the testimonies, if you have never done it, go to like Voice of the Martyrs and listen to the testimonies of those who have been persecuted for the cause of Christ, and you will find them more joyful Christians than those who have experienced little persecution. Because they have found there is someone sufficient for all of the evil done against them and will wash them of all sin. So, if someone has shamed you, scarred you, used you, stole something from you, here's something that's very difficult about this process. What they took cannot be replaced. There's things I've done to people that I cannot undo. It cannot be changed. What has happened has happened. The consequences have happened. The damage has been done. And in your life, it may be continuing to be done if you continue hanging on to what was done to you. But here's the deal. When you accept the work of Christ for you, and you accept the work of Christ for that which is done against you, it can free you from that which has controlled you. Has anybody heard that yet? That there is nothing that's been done against you that needs to be held on by you. And I talk to people and say, I am not going to what? Forgive. Oh, we're afraid of that word. If I forgive, I'm going to let them off the hook. They will stand before a righteous God. You can trust a righteous God to do righteous. Is that true? Yes. I can trust him with every wrong that's ever been done against me. So they won't be off the hook. What happens is when you forgive someone for what they've done to you, you get off their hook. And that evil that's been done to you. And when you say, I won't forgive, you hold on to the hook as it hooks you and you continue in agony. Forgiveness can set you free from the sins and the damage and the destruction that's been done against you if you'll trust him as sufficient for you and for what's been done against you. Is that making any sense? Are you hearing this? I think this is harsh, awesome, glorious truth. But I realize I am walking in closets here, and I want to do this as gently and as carefully as I know how. But friends, I don't want you living in that closet. I don't want you living in those stains. I don't want you chained to that thing any longer. It is finished. Amen. It has been paid for. It is sufficient. It can be cleansed. But here's the deal. I have to choose to trust God with what's been done against me. And I have to choose to trust God with the future. I won't even be able to walk all of that out here this morning. Forgiveness is not the same as reconciliation. Get that out of your mind. Letting go of what somebody else has done to you does not mean you then trust them. They may not be a trustworthy person. We don't have time to explore that this morning. I'm just talking about whether you'll trust what's been done for you. Because he said, be tender-hearted. What? Forgiving each other just as God also has forgiven you. One of the reasons I can teach the gospel and its work with clarity and with power is because of its work in me. Because I am one who has sinned greatly, and I have a Savior who cleanses me from all sin. And the damage that I've done to others, I can bring to him. and trust Him with it. Even if that other person will never forgive you, even if they'll never be restored to you, you can't change that either. So some of you here are here as not just the one who's been sinned against, but you're here as the person who's done that, and that person won't forgive you, and they won't release you, and you're mad at them because they won't forgive you for what you did wrong. I understand that. Can you forgive them for not forgiving? See, this is a holistic concept, friends, so that there is nothing that can stay on you if you get this. There is nothing that needs to be held by you. You can let go of all sin and walk in complete forgiveness, in complete freedom. It is for you. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen. Hallelujah. So I can accept Christ's sacrifice for sins done by me and done against me. Similar to how you confess your own sins. This verse goes on to say, if we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves. So let's not go there. No, I never did that. See, that's the denial thing. We step into denial thinking that somehow that will keep us out of the problem. It does not. It prevents the problem from being resolved. When you bury sin in your life, you bury it alive. And it's coming back somehow in some way as a manifestation. So don't bury it. So what do? All right, we're talking about what sin's been done against you. Let me help you through this process. Because to confess really means to agree with God. You're going to agree with God. So what we need to do, first of all, is admit something happened. Because some of you said, I'm so Christian, it doesn't hurt me. That's called calloused heart. Yeah. No, it hurts you. Admit something happened. You're admitting what's already true. This has been done. And then, acknowledge the consequences. See, sometimes people will come to you and say, hey, whoops, I'm sorry about that. And you'll just say, oh, okay, you're forgiven. Isn't that right? Quick grace. And yet, what they did to you isn't really the worst thing. It's the consequences of what they did to you that you're still having to deal with that are the most difficult to deal with. So you admit that something's been done, but also admit the damage that's been done by what was done. Does that make sense? And by all means, then tell God what happened. The Bible says, cast your care upon Him because He cares for you. And who said that? Who said that? Bible quiz. Who said that? Peter. What do you know about Peter? Did he know how to blow it big? Did he know how to totally mess up his life, deny the one that he even knew his Savior? Friends, isn't that close to blasphemy to say, I didn't know him, I didn't follow him, I have nothing to do with him, and curse in the process? And that same Savior came back and said, what? Do you love me? That's the issue. Will you trust me with my love? Will you trust me with my sacrifice? Will you say, I will release what's been done to me to you and trust your righteousness to deal with it? It's off. I'm off the case, because some of you have been pretty good prosecutors. You've been prosecuting that case with this person and that person, and you tell so-and-so about it, and here's how it's affected you, and dip. You're not the prosecutor. His name is Jesus Christ. Check it out. It's in Romans 8. And He will deal with it. He will deal with all sin. He will set all things righteous. And I don't need to be on the case. I don't want to be on the case. I don't want Him on my case. I want to just give it all back to Him. So I tell God what's happened and what? Then I trust His provision and say, I believe what you did cleanses what's been done. And you walk free. It says, if we confess, He forgives. If we forgive, we're released. Don't hold on. Let go and let God cleanse you. Forgiveness releases you from being tied to the destruction of sin against you. I want to say it again. It doesn't let the other person off the hook. It takes the hook out of you. And the victim becomes the victor. Because what's been done to you has been brought to him, and you walk in victory over that, in that, and through that for the rest of your life. Doesn't mean you still don't have scars. Doesn't mean you still don't have a wound that you're going to have to deal with. What it means is you have a Savior who you're letting deal with it with you. And that is enough, because he is enough. And so you are free from that shame-based identity that you've been walking in. You are free from that fear, whatever you've been carrying around. I'm forgiven because Jesus Christ paid for all sin, for all time, for all people. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so what are you doing? I'm inviting you to trust the righteous judge and trust Christ, the sufficient Savior. You trust your Father, the righteous judge. Trust Christ, the sufficient Savior. You refuse to hold on to what God has condemned. You refuse to hold on what Jesus was sacrificed for. It's already been paid for. I'm not going to bill them again. I'm going to base the truth by accepting his forgiveness for me and applying his forgiveness to them. And the Savior on the cross showed us this very thing by doing what? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You ever wrestled with that? I have. Sometimes I look at that and I say, they knew exactly what they were doing. Jesus brings his grace to those who executed him. So I forgive because it's paid for. And because his payment is enough, and because he commands me to, so that I will walk into the light. Remember what we said? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And when I forgive others as he forgives me, I walk in light. And if I refuse to forgive, I walk in darkness. And I will bring darkness into my marriage. I'll bring darkness into my parenting. I'll bring darkness into my business. I'll bring darkness into my mind. I'll bring unhealth into my body. If I don't walk out of sin, I walk into the consequences of sin, and sin brings death. So I forgive so I can live. So what I'm going to do here this morning is invite you to process this. I want you to pray. I want you to talk to God about what he's been talking to you about. And then we'll take communion. But not before. The Bible says we're to examine ourselves that we might partake of communion in a worthy manner. If there's something that you need to resolve, I'm going to give you a chance to do that. That's what this is about. This is what he told me. Don't rush this. I'm taking over. So I said, okay, it's your church. I don't know why that should be hard. But I want to ask Tori if you just come and just play a little bit for us while we pray. When we take communion, I'm going to have Sandy play. But I want right now for you just to talk to God. You may need to talk to the person next to you. I want you to take, we're going to give you a little bit of time here. I'm also going to ask the prayer team if they'll just go to the corners And if you'd like to go pray with somebody, if you feel like I just need to get something prayed over, the team's going to be there to pray with you. So as the music plays, this is a time for you to be quiet. You can sit where you are. You can go to somebody. You can go to a prayer team member. But I want you to trust Christ alone with all sin, all of your own, all that's been done. And I want us experiencing his freedom because we've been set free. Let's talk to him. Father, just help us where we are right here. We can hear this truth. We can know this truth. We've heard it, some of us 100, some of us 1,000 times. And that stuff has been stuck inside of us, sometimes for decades. We want to bring it back to you. Say, God, thank you. Thank you that you paid it all. Thank you that you'll cleanse it all. We bring it back to you. This is what was done to me. This is what I've done. Let's talk to him, family. He's paid it all.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me thank you.
blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. He has a work that he has begun, and that work continues as we walk in light. And so even coming to the table is a part of walking in light, isn't it? It's a part of saying, yes, that's what he told us to do. As often as you do this in remembrance of me. And so we come to the table as a way of saying, yes, I agree that what you did is sufficient for me. And so in the bread that we're about to serve and in the cup that we're about to serve, there is not salvation. Salvation is in Christ alone. But there is in these elements the expression of salvation, the very revelation of the sacrifice. And so it's to be taken with great reverence. It is a spiritual experience that we do together with Christ. That's why it's called communion. You're doing this with Christ. And so I'd like to ask those who are serving if they would come this time to serve communion. And so, in these elements, there is that expression of saying, I trust what Christ has done. I take it unto myself. Isn't it amazing that God comes up with these awesome, powerful illustrations that it's so personal? When he said, this bread is for you. When he said, this cup is for you. It's for us, for everyone. No, it's an individual reception because we receive an individual forgiveness. Dick, would you just ask a blessing on both the bread and the cup as we prepare to partake together.
Our Father and our God, we thank you. Before the world began, God, you knew when you made man that we would have a choice between good and evil. And you knew what our choice was. And you had a plan for redemption. God, we thank you for what Jesus did on the cross. We thank you that he was faithful. And we thank you for his broken body and his shed blood, which cleanses us from all sin. God, we know that. We thank you for that, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We practice an open table. This is Christ's sacrifice for us. If your faith is in him, we would invite you to partake it, trusting him with us and celebrating together as the family of God that we are. After you have served, we'd invite you just to hold it in your hand and we'll partake together after everyone's been served. This bread is a symbol of his body, which he allowed to be beaten, which he allowed to be horribly, publicly shamed. The person was slandered through the streets, publicly accused of blasphemy, and executed. And this bread is for you. He said, eat you, all of it. And this cup is a cup of forgiveness. Forgiveness came to us, comes to us, is continually extended to us at great cost to him. Free to us, if we will trust. And so in receiving the cup, you're receiving the work of Christ. You're saying, I believe the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So if your faith is in him, drink you all of it. So now, as we start on this journey, walking this out, I trust even though we have had a thorough exploration that you understand for some of this process, we're still not there. You have seen it. You have begun to agree with it. Don't walk away from it. Walk towards it. It's farther. It may be deeper than can be handled in a Sunday morning. That's where calling on your small group leader or calling to one of your elders is saying, hey, can you help me process this? Sometimes the wounds have been sown so deep for so long, takes some soaking to bring the stains off, but they will come off. You can be cleansed of all sin. There is a victory for everything. So I trust that you'll be praying this through, and what we want to do now is do some worship and just release and express gratitude back to Him. So would you just stand with me as we sing this next song?